पितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो ते वस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। ॐ मे वी मेडिटेट ऑन दैट सुप्रीम बीइंग हु ड्वेल्स इन द हार्ट्स ऑफ ऑल। He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been studying the Viveka Chudamani, or crest jewel of discrimination, by the great seer philosopher Shankara. And already it has been explained that how God, in His infinite aspect, as an infinite being, dwells within each one of us, and that God dwelling within is known as the Atman, I, the Self, capital S, not the ego. The real I is Brahman, Atman, but covered by ignorance. How it has been pointed out that through the practice of spiritual disciplines, when the clouds of ignorance are removed, purity of heart is achieved, then only this truth of the Atman becomes revealed to us. Now, in the following chapters, two or three chapters, he is trying to point out what this ignorance is. Now, in the first place, ignorance is defined as to take something as something which is not, which it is not. Now, why this ignorance and what is this ignorance? We cannot explain, but it is there. And Shankara, in another treatise on Vedanta philosophy, points out or describes what this ignorance is. He says first that light and darkness are opposed to each other. It is not possible to mistake the light as darkness and darkness as light. The subject I and object this, they are opposed to each other, as opposed as darkness is to light. And yet, through some inscrutable and inexplainable power, it has become mixed up. The object is considered as subject. Then he says, you see, he points out that it is inexplainable. Inscrutable power, this Maya. That power is Maya. This is inscrutable and inexplainable. But, he says, I am stating the facts. And the fact is that we are mistaking the one for the other. Then he gives the illustration. A man who is lame. He thinks he is lame. But where is the lameness? In the body. but he is not the body. Or a mood of the mind. You are happy or unhappy. The mind, there is that wave of happiness or wave of misery. And you are identifying yourself with that wave. But you are not the mind. The Atman is separate from all these. And these are non-Atmans. And through some inscrutable power, the Atman has identified itself with the non-Atman. This is the ignorance. You see, as for instance, a scientist, he cannot explain why such and such things happen, or how he can only say it happens this way, how it happens, not why. Similarly, you see, as the scientist sees matter of fact, these are facts, we see, we can explain how it has happened, but why we do not know. Similarly, these great seers, they point out that this has happened, but why we do not know. But these are, nobody can contradict. These are facts of experience. Anyone who has a little discrimination can realize immediately that he is not the body. He is something separate from the body. And yet, in all our actions, in all our behaviors, in all our thoughts, we are identifying ourselves with this body. Now, therefore, this ignorance can only disappear. And when this ignorance disappears, then only the true Atman in all its glory becomes revealed to us. And that also is a matter of experience. Now, if you ask, whose Maya is this? It is God's Maya. You see, as in the Gita we read, Sri Krishna says, this divine Maya of mine is very difficult to cross. This divine Maya, this ignorance that has covered us, is very difficult to get over. But then he says, those who devote themselves to me cross over this Maya easily. You see, there is this ignorance covering that sun, that luminous sun, the clouds of ignorance. And these clouds of ignorance have to be removed. How? Ultimately, by the divine grace. That is the grace of the Atman. And in order that you can do that, you have to devote yourself to the Atman, to God, to Brahman. So Sri Krishna says, Shankara says, deluded by his ignorance, a man mistakes one thing for another. Lack of discernment will cause a man to think that a snake is a piece of rope. So what is it that is lacking? Discernment. But that's not exactly the whole thing. A darkness. Ignorance. When he grasps it in this belief, he runs a great risk. The accepting of the unreal as real constitutes a state of bondage. Pay heed to this, my friend. Now this again is wonderful truth. That this something, this objective world that we sense, and which we think as something eternal and real. You see, that's how we are running after the objects of the world, considering such as eternal. And this creates bondage. Now we have to have that discernment. You know, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, to discriminate between the real and the unreal. What is this discrimination? As we do discriminate, then we find out that God alone is real. Because what is real? That which is eternal, that which is abiding. And what is unreal? That which is fleeting. So if we have this discernment, we shall find that everything else in this universe is unreal. God alone is real. He is the one treasure. That's also what Jesus pointed out. He is the one treasure. Everything else becomes moth-eaten. Only God is the reality. And knowing Him to be the treasure, devote yourself to Him. And that is the truth in every religion. And then again, where is that God dwelling within? He is the Atman. The Atman is indivisible, eternal, one without a second. It is eternally made manifest by the power of its own knowledge. Its glories are infinite. The veil of tamas hides the true nature of the Atman, just as an eclipse hides the rays of the sun. Now, I think I tried to explain to you last time about the three gunas. You see, what is this divine power, this Maya? This Maya is composed of three gunas. This Maya does not mean exactly a complete unreally, something that is completely unreal, totally unreal. No. You see, here again, let us understand this. This great seer philosopher who explains Vedanta in the simplest way, Shankara, he points out that there are degrees of reality. As long as we are experiencing something and as long as that experience lasts, we do not say it is unreal. It's real to us as long as we are experiencing. But this experience is again contradicted by another experience. And when that becomes contradicted by another experience, then we call that unreal. He points out that this universe is not unreal like you may say, golden earthen vessel, which is an impossibility, or a barren omen sun, that's an impossibility. So it is not like that. Then he says, suppose a mirage, you see a mirage. It is real, but you come nearer it, another experience contradicts that. So it has a degree of reality very small. Then again, we are dreaming. As long as we are dreaming, our dreams are so real. We suffer, we are in anguish in dreams, or we are happy and we enjoy life, pleasure in dream. Then as we wake up, the dream has vanished. It has become unreal. But as long as we are dreaming, we cannot call this, we would not say that this is unreal. Similarly, in this waking state, everything seems to be so real. I can smell, I can touch, I can feel, I experience everything. We cannot say it is unreal as long as we are experiencing. But then, this waking state becomes contradicted by another higher experience. And that is what we call the fourth or transcendental samadhi. And we have to achieve that then we realize this is unreal. But even before we have achieved that, we have to discriminate. And discriminate how? Everything else, everything that we sense and experience is fleeting, fleeting, changing, shifting. This is also an experience with us. This body, it was body of a baby, body of a young man, body of an old man. Changing. Mind is changing all the time. And we try to hold this changing phenomena, this divine Maya, as something real. But, to quote the words of Buddha, it is like bidding the clouds to stay. Now again, as I said, what is this Maya composed of? It has some reality. What is this composed of? And whose Maya is this? It's God's Maya. And this Maya is composed of what we call the three gunas, the three energies. See, it's very difficult to give any English equivalent to the word guna, because, you know, in the West that idea is not there. For instance, the scientists' words like electrons or neutrons, you know, we can't find Bengali equivalent or Sanskrit equivalent to those words. Of course, they are trying to give some equivalent. But because they did not think out those along that line. Anyway, there are these three bundles of energies which make up this whole universe, objective universe. And by this objective universe, I mean also the body and the mind. You see, mind and matter, what you call. They are composed of the same substance. They are made up of the three gunas. Now, how do we know what they are? We can only know from their expressions. You see, it is again very difficult to define any one of these gunas in so many words. But only we can point out the expressions of these gunas. You know, as Swamiji has pointed out, that electricity, for instance, you cannot explain what it is, but only you can explain how it expresses, how it works. Similarly, these gunas, these bundles of energies, we can only describe how they express themselves. Of course, I am not concerned to explain here how they express physically, in the physical universe. But we are more concerned with the mind. When there is tranquility, calmness, pure thoughts, holiness, those are the expressions of satta. Then rajas, that expresses as passions, restlessness, activity. You see, none of these, remember, are bad by themselves, but how they are used. Then, lastly, tamas. Tamas is darkness. It deludes the mind. You see, for instance, as you wake up, while you are asleep, you are completely under the spell of tamas. Then also when you wake up, you see, the mind is not functioning properly. And also you find that sometimes your mind is very pure, calm, keen, And then again you find your mind very active, restless. And then again the same mind you find dull. These are the expressions of the three gunas. Now he points out, the veil of tamas hides the true nature of the Atman, just as an eclipse hides the rays of the sun. There is the play of the three gunas. It's the tamas first that has worked and hides the nature of the Atman. When the pure rays of the Atman are thus concealed, the deluded man identifies himself with his body, which is non-Atman. Then rajas, which has the power of projecting illusory forms, afflicts him sorely. How? It binds him with chains of lust, anger, and the other passions. His mind becomes perverted. His consciousness of the Atman is swallowed up by the shark of total ignorance. Yielding to the power of rajas, he identifies himself with the many motions and the changes of the mind. Therefore, he is swept hither and thither, now rising, now sinking in the boundless ocean of birth and death, whose waters are full of the poison of sense objects. This is indeed a miserable fate. The sun's rays bring forth layers of cloud. By them the sun is concealed. You see, it is the sun's rays that bring those clouds. And so it appears that the clouds alone exist. In the same way, the ego, which is brought forth by the Atman, hides the true nature of the Atman. And so it appears that the ego alone exists. You see, just try to analyze and see that you are only an ego. That it is the Atman, that infinite being. No, you can't even conceive. But you know how it can be conceived and how we can find out that I am the Atman? You know that parable of Sri Ramakrishna. It was really a parable of Totapuri. And Sri Ramakrishna heard from it. And then Swamiji also gave that parable. You see, there was a tiger attacked a herd of goats or sheep. Well, tiger or lion, you see, there are two versions. I'll say lion. Swamiji said lion. Sri Ramakrishna in his gospel mentions tiger, but lion sounds better. As this lioness attacked the goats, you see, she was pregnant and gave birth to a cub. And this cub began to grow with this herd of sheep. And then this lion began to bleat like the sheep, was eating grass and living the same way as these goats or sheep. And then one day another lion attacked that herd, and he was surprised to see a lion running away with the goats, with the sheep, I mean. And so somehow he got hold of this lion, and the lion began to bleat like the sheep. Then he dragged him to the lake and said, look at that, your face. You see, you look as I look. It's the same. And then he gave him a piece of meat. First he refused to eat. And then he was forced. And then as he ate, it tasted good. And then this other lion roared. Now, come on, roar like a lion. And so also he began to roar like a lion. And so that's how again we begin to roar like a lion. That is another lion, a guru. He comes and gets hold of us and says, now look here, you are not mortal, weak, sinner. You are divine. I have attained that. I have become one with God. You also can become that. You see, that's how we learn. Otherwise, we shall be bleating like sheep and eating grass. On a stormy day, the sun is swallowed up by the clouds, and these clouds are attacked by sharp, chill blasts of wind. So, when the Atman is enveloped in the thick darkness of tamas, the terrible power of rajas attacks the deluded man with all kinds of sorrows. Man's bondage is caused by the power of these two, tamas and rajas. Deluded by these, he mistakes the body for the Atman and strays on to the path that leads to death and rebirth. Man's life in this relative world may be compared to a tree. Tamas is the seed. Identification of the Atman with the body is its sprouting forth. The cravings are its leaves. Work is its sap. The body is its trunk. The vital forces are its branches. The sense organs are its twigs. The sense objects are its flowers. Its fruits are the suffering caused by various actions. The individual man is the bird who eats the fruit of the tree of life. The Atman's bondage to the non-Atman springs from ignorance. It has no external cause. You see, it's not that God caused this. It is no external, because there is no external God, you see, that's where we get into trouble. It has no external cause. It is said to be beginningless. It will continue indefinitely until a man becomes enlightened. Now here again, Mark, you see, always they ask, how did it start? How did it begin? It never started at any point of time. It's beginningless. But it is not endless. It has an end, you may say, but that which is beginningless also is endless. In a sense, it is true. This universe, this ignorance in its entirety is something that is beginningless and endless. That is, this universe and this ignorance will continue to exist for eternity. But individuals come out of this ignorance. Now with individuals also, the ignorance is beginningless. Now why is it not endless? The answer is very simple. Ignorance is not anything that is positive. It is something negative. Ignorance is lack of wisdom, lack of knowledge. It has no positive reality. It's something negative. And that which is negative, you see, though beginningless, comes to an end. Very interesting, you know, Shankara gives an illustration. Well, I take this illustration, for instance. I can't remember exactly what object he says. But this is my understanding. Take this watch. This did not exist, this particular watch did not exist from a beginningless time. The lack of this watch is beginningless. But that came to an end when this watch was made. So, ignorance is beginningless. As soon as enlightenment comes, there's an end to that ignorance. It will continue indefinitely until a man becomes enlightened. As long as a man remains in this bondage, it subjects him to a long train of miseries, birth, death, sickness, decrepitude, and so forth. This bondage cannot be broken by weapons or by wind or by fire or by millions of acts. You see, Shankara does not believe that acts or work can lead us to God. I shall deal with that point next Sunday. But of course the teachings of the Gita are different. And of course he says, Shankara points out, that action is important as much as it helps you to attain purity of heart. But it cannot lead you directly to God. It's knowledge alone that gives you God, gives you God. You have to have knowledge. But action brings knowledge. You see, I shall try to answer that. Nothing but the sharp sword of knowledge can cut through this bondage. It is forged by discrimination and made keen by purity of heart through divine grace. You see, he had to admit every great soul who had attained anything in spiritual life will have to admit divine grace. And that's what Sri Krishna points out. This Maya, this divine Maya, or as he says, this my Maya, Mamo Maya, my Maya is difficult to cross. And but those who devote themselves to me cross over this Maya easily. Now here is quite a few questions. Are they for me or they were all before I was here? Before Abraham was, I am. You often stress the point that we should realize God in this life here and now. In an anxiety to attain liberation here and now, is it not sometimes disturbing to the point of even hindering us in our quest? Might it not be better to patiently do our best from day to day and have faith that no effort will be in vain? This is lazy man's religion. Yes, someday, yes, let us do our best. Let us enjoy life for some time and then the time will come. It's lazy man's. No, you have to be up and doing. I must have it this moment. Life is going to waste in vain. You must bring that urge, that real desire, that real longing. Then only we can find. Yes, Lalita, I shall leave it there. In one of your articles, you said that we shall make constructive reactions to our experiences in life. I don't know where I wrote that. Will you explain constructive reactions from your point of view? I don't understand what means constructive reactions mean. I don't know. Are you sure you are quoting me or quoting somebody else? When you quote anybody, just give reference. You see, now I don't know when I wrote constructive reactions. Perhaps I was full of tamas at the time, maybe. If individuality is an illusion, who becomes liberated? That's a very interesting question. Now, who is asking this question? It is he that becomes liberated, you see. Swami, isn't it possible to meditate without a mantra or a chosen ideal? For instance, the path of psychic control? No, I don't know what you mean by the path of psychic control. First, you have to be a psychic in order to control your psychic. Path of psychic control refers to what we call Raja Yoga, which means the eightfold path of yoga. Didn't I give a lecture on that? Just recently, I think. The eight steps, eight limbs of yoga, or did I not? So those are the eight limbs of yoga that you have to practice. Why do you want everything to be simple and easy? And you see this path of psychic control, you see, what do you understand by that? Nothing is easy that is worth having. You have to work hard. You have to work hard to earn anything in life. And when it comes to religion, don't you realize that you are trying to achieve something that is abiding, that is eternal? Look, you work so hard, you go through much suffering to amass wealth, for instance. And then what have you got? You die tomorrow? Well, where is your wealth? But this is something that goes with you for eternity. Your character, your understanding, your knowledge, your devotion, your knowledge of God. When you have that, you have got everything. And for that we must have to struggle hard. Not so easy. Does it sometimes occur to you that life is overwhelmingly sad? Is there anything that can be done about this? Sometimes it's hard to believe in God. Well, that's very sad. Yes, I'm glad that you feel that this life is overwhelmingly sad. And there is something that can be done about it. Alright, if you can't believe in God, still there is a way to overcome suffering. And, for instance, Buddha pointed out how this world is full of suffering, but there is a way out of this. So he said there are four noble truths that we have to consider first. That there is suffering, there is a cause to this suffering, there is a way out of this suffering, and lastly, there is a way of peace. And then he points out that what is the cause of suffering? Ignorance. There is a way to remove this ignorance, and there is the way of peace. What is the way? First he points out that you have to cultivate ethical life. You see, it gives illustration that the cloth is dirty. You have to put soap and then wash it in clean water. Similarly, the impurities that have gathered have to be purified by strictly ethical life. And Buddha emphasizes ahimsa, not to hurt any creature, in word, thought and deed. Learn to live in love and harmony with all people. That is the main principle of ethical life. And then he says, right kind of meditation, right kind of recollectedness. And if you practice that, you get out of this suffering. And what is it that you don't believe when you say it's hard to believe in God? Yes, it is hard to believe in God what Mr. X is defining as God. It's hard to believe, yes. But do you believe in your own self? Sure you do. Alright, try to find out your own self. What is it? So nobody can say that he doesn't believe in his self. In order that you can doubt the existence of yourself, you have to exist. As Descartes pointed out. But of course it's a little different than Descartes. He was talking about his ego. But here, the inquiry is, find out what that self is, what I am. and you will find God. So you don't have to begin by believing in God. And when you say, I don't believe in God, it's you don't believe in God what so and so defines as God. That's the whole trouble. I realize that God is the only power, the all in all, and that in Him we live and move and have our being. In what different sense do you use the word realize? Well, that's the whole trouble. You all think you know God. You all think you live, move and have your being in God. And then you are running after flesh. Realize God is to transcend these three states of consciousness, waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep. We are all asleep now. This waking state is sleep. Wake up. There's another state. And you have to wake up to that state to realize. Otherwise, when you say, we live, we move and have our being in God, do you think of God? Do you feel that? No, you have simply so many words to you. Now from the floor.
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording. Sometimes when you have started on the spiritual life and you are struggling, it seems that the sadness is worse than when you started.
Very good. Because you begin to see the nature of things. You see. For instance, before you struggled to meditate, you thought you are a very good person, your mind was good. And then you find what a rascal mind it is when you begin to meditate. Because you begin to know the nature of the mind, you begin to know the nature of the objects. You see? And then you grow gradually and come out of all that.
You said that ignorance has an end because it is negative. But does that indicate that if it were positive, it couldn't have an end?
Yes, if something that is positive. For instance, you see this book. Something positive. This will exist in some form or other. But darkness does not exist. But what we call matter and material universe, that also continues to exist in some form or other, or they go back to the gunas, you see. But the gunas bring this ignorance. That ignorance is negative.
Swami, in meditation, when you meditate, thoughts come and go. Is it better to let thoughts come and go, or is it better to block them?
Block them. But it is difficult to block them first. And you know, I remember I pointed out while giving that lecture on yoga of meditation, how for some time, do not try to block, but let the thoughts come and you watch, wait and watch. And then, say for 10 minutes. And then you talk to the mind and say, now, dear mind, you have had enough. Come back.
But Swami, you have a mind you cannot trust. The mind gets moods.
Yes, yes.
It gets bad moods and sad moods.
That's right.
So who can I trust?
Only have trust in God. None else. Nobody you can trust. But just God. He will never fail you. Om Hari Om, Om Sana Bhavato sahanau bhunaktu sahavirjam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om. May Brahman protect us, may he guide us, may he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.